Blog Talk Radio.
Conversations with the Queen, where we value a conscious and holistic approach to life and self-improvement. We often focus on psychological, spiritual, and emotional balance, but we discuss any and everything that pertains to bettering ourselves. So on today's show, we will be discussing overcoming obesity, featuring Dr. Yu. But before we get into that, I would like to invite you to visit conversationswiththequeen.blogspot.com, where you can catch exclusive articles and information that pertain to the show. Also, don't forget that if you miss a show, you can always check us out here in the archives on blogtalkradio.com/109-9PennStation. Also, check out our fan page on Facebook, which is facebook.com/conversationswiththequeen, as well as you can follow us on Twitter. That's at Tay Queen on Twitter. I hope everybody had a lovely, lovely weekend. I know we've been in hiatus for a little bit, and there was a little bit of a debacle as to how the show was going to be broadcasted, and I'm glad that everybody who found their way tonight. I'm really grateful for that energy and love that you guys are giving and the support that you guys are giving to Conversations with the Queen. So shout out to you all, everybody who's listening right now, and thank you for supporting independent radio like this, because, you know, it's definitely something that's important, and, you know, we do strive to provide you with imperative topics that are affecting our community at the moment. So definitely big ups and thanks to each and every one of you tuned in right now as we go about this lovely show. So, all right, the monthly yoga pose for this month is the dolphin plank pose. It is a great pose that actually helps to calm the brain. It relieves stress and mild depression, stretches the shoulders, the hamstrings, the calves, and the arches. It stretches the arms and the legs and the core and helps to prevent osteoporosis. So it's a really, really great pose. We're going to have it up on the conversationswiththequeen.blogspot.com site very, very shortly. And you'll be able to view the position and how you can get into it and all those wonderful, lovely things on there. So definitely go check us out on conversationswiththequeen.blogspot.com so you guys can get more in touch with that information. Before we get into the show, I'd like to open up with an affirmation, a weekly affirmation. And this weekly affirmation goes a little something like this. I am a divine and beautiful being filled with light, love, and creativity. I am filled to the brim and overflowing with focus, abundance, and patience. I am royal and wise in my nature. I am life, a creative force of nature, who is one with the Great Mother and Ashe. Okay? So definitely, definitely go check that out and many more affirmations just like it on conversationswiththequeen.blogspot.com. All right, everybody, Dr. Yuma is in the house. Dr. Yuma, are you on the line?
Peace, how you feeling?
I am feeling awesome, considering
wonderful.
I had just woke up 20 minutes ago. It's crazy. I don't know. Something spiritual has been going on with me because I've been sleeping these crazy hours. And, it's crazy. But actually, I'm really great. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing wonderful. I can't complain at all. You know, honored to be here again with you on Conversations with the Queen.
Yeah.
Always an honor to be on this program.
All right. Yes, I know we had some technical difficulties last week, but, you know, we're definitely here strong doing it. And the biggest thing I want everybody to know is that Conversations with the Queen is back on every Monday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So we will still be here doing it every Monday. And, of course, you know, we'll continue with our weekly, our monthly segments and all that type of stuff. So, I mean, for people who are not familiar with you, I mean, if they're avid Conversations with the Queen listeners, they should be. But for people who are newcomers to the show, definitely get them acquainted with who you are and what you do.
Okay, well, I am a holistic wellness consultant and a holistic herbalist, an African drummer, performing artist, you know, but generally what it is that I do is I help people with health concerns, and that's through all natural and holistic means, dealing with the spirit, the mind, the body, and the environment. And you know, just bringing that as a whole, as a perspective to help the target with whatever the concerns are for, you know, the whole being.
Mhm. Okay. Awesome. And I mean, I've you know, had a consultation with Dr. Yuma. He is a modest person, but he is one of the best at what he does. I can say that outright. Awesome, awesome products, awesome company. So it's just really great to have him on and have his perspective on the show. Now, this topic was really near and dear to me, specifically just because of the fact that obesity had affected me personally. So, you know, how conversations we normally do our interview portion at this point, but I just want to share a little bit of my background story with everybody so that you guys can understand that, you know, I have a little bit of a pull when it comes to this subject. yes. So I'm Tay Queen, the host of this show, and I was at one point 330 pounds. I'm 6'2", so, you know, it wasn't like I was really short. But nevertheless, 330 pounds of anybody is still a lot of weight. So I was 330 pounds at the age of 16. And I actually, to be completely honest with everybody, had accepted me being overweight. A lot of times in the Black community, it is something that's not frowned upon. So definitely, I always considered myself to be beautiful. It wasn't the self-esteem aspect, although you do feel societal pressures, which is normal, because, you know, I think everybody feels societal pressures to conform to whatever the society standards of beauty are. And especially as a teenage girl, that's not something that's easy. But I definitely went through that struggle, and at the age of 17, I decided that I was going to take a holistic route because I had grown up in a home that that was accepting of alternative and holistic treatments. So I decided, you know what, my health is poor, I'm tired of dealing with certain symptoms that I've been dealing with for a while, and I'm going to really take this head on holistically. Now, my intention was never to lose weight. My intention was actually to become a healthy person because I was not at that point. So, of course, naturally in alignment with everything, as I began to become more healthy, I definitely started to lose the pounds. So it came off relatively quickly. I did a couple of cleanses. I think I did a Dr. Sebi cleanse. And about 2010, and I also have done maintenance cleanses ever since, but ever since doing those initial cleanses and fasting from carbohydrates and all these different things, and then Dr. Sebi don't play that, so you got to be vegan on his cleanse, and I was like, not a vegan, and I was like, I'm hungry and I want some chicken, so it was definitely a new experience. But it was something that I was determined to do. And I think determination is one of the biggest things that's you're going to need when you're going to go down a weight loss journey, because it's that inner strength that's going to carry you through to the end and start and allow you to start seeing the results. So that's right, a little bit of my story. I don't want to take up the whole show talking about me. But that's why I wanted to put this show together, and that's why I felt it was so important. So I lost 150 pounds in total. I lost a small, average-sized woman now. I used to say I lost a small woman, but now I lost an average-sized woman. So, yeah, definitely. The skinny chick inside of me that was waiting to come out is definitely here. yeah. So, definitely. All right, so let's get started. Let's get started on the interview portion of the show. So from a medical perspective and from a health perspective, what is obesity exactly?
Well, I think first let me just say this, and I want to reiterate a point that you just made, which actually was something that I wanted to start out by saying. Which is, you know, it's more important to focus on your health and total well-being than it is to lose weight. because once you focus on your health, then the weight will drop off naturally, you know. But obesity is when your body is holding on to too much waste inside of the body,
mm-hmm.
you know, and as a holistic consultant or from the holistic perspective, you know that it's not just the body, you know, but we're also dealing with the spirit, we're also dealing with the mind, and we're also dealing with the environment. So all of those different perspectives, if you're holding on to too much waste or toxicity inside of all of those different perspectives, then that will contribute to you retaining that weight.
All right, definitely. So what are some of the health complications that can be presented by obesity?
Well, there's so many different ones. It's probably difficult to name them all. Off
mm-hmm.
the top, you know,
mm-hmm.
blood pressure, heart disease and heart problems,
mm-hmm.
Asthma, sleep apnea, all of these different things can be associated with obesity. Diabetes is
yeah.
also often associated with that. We have, you know, it's just so many to name. It's really hard to really get all of them in, but just about anything that you can think of
yeah.
has probably been associated with that. But again,
definitely.
You know, it's important to realize that it's not the obesity that's causing that, but it's the condition of the body that's causing
exactly.
those different, you know, issues. And it's also just, it just so happens that obesity will come along with that because your metabolism and everything is going to slow down in that whole process from being overloaded.
Very good point. Very good point. I think it's also key to emphasize that, you know, this country has really unhealthy standards of what they consider to be beautiful, and then that does carry over into the Western medical system. And a lot of people who are, you know, might be slightly, you know, above average in the weight category, but not necessarily overweight or not necessarily fat or obese, are often told that they need to lose weight and things like that. So I want to just really quickly reiterate that we're not talking about unhealthy standards of ideals. We're really talking about the issue of obesity. So how can you begin to tell if obesity is affecting you as a person who is obese?
Well, one thing that you'll notice your energy levels will start to decrease. What I tend to find is that hand in hand with depression a lot of times as well. You know, so the energy decreases. Sometimes you can find yourself being depressed if you're not having certain types of foods that you're used to that comfort you. You know, so there's an emotional connection there. And when you have that heavy emotional connection with food, where it's like food is the thing that makes you happy for the
yeah.
time being, you know,
mm-hmm.
then that's something that I see that's very common as well. And that's one of the reasons why
mm-hmm.
people who are obese have such an issue with losing weight. You know, it's not
mm-hmm.
that they can't actually lose the weight. And people say, I want to say to that I read a comment.
Mm-hmm.
on, I believe it was on Facebook,
mm-hmm.
on the page, the event page for this program.
Yeah.
And somebody said something to the effect of, well, you know, losing weight is easy. You just control what you eat and exercise
mm-hmm.
or something to that effect.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw the responses to the comment. I chose not to comment at the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but to a degree, that's correct. And to a degree, it's a little deeper than that because...
Exactly. It's not that simple. And I think the biggest thing for people who are not overweight and haven't experienced it, they think it's that simple. And the person who's obese is just sitting there thinking, well, damn, what's wrong with me? Because I think a big misconception is that people who are obese just sit down and eat all day. And that's not necessarily true.
No,
so,
not at all.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, just to get back on that subject, you know, it's like what we eat, of course, plays a large part in how we are going to be able to, you know, either keep weight on or get rid of weight. That's obvious. But again, you know, when we're looking at that emotional connection is the key as well. You know, because certain emotions will cause you to crave certain types of foods, and your body will not be satisfied if you do not get those types of foods that your body is craving at that particular time. And that, of course, is associated with the nutritional content and the body's ability to uptake the nutrients that it's getting from food. So one of the things that we have to really push to the forefront is the purpose. You know, what's the purpose behind what it is that we're doing? What's the purpose behind us eating food? Is the food that we're eating just for our enjoyment purposes? No, it's for us to nourish our bodies, for us to maintain the proper energy that our bodies need to function properly and to keep us alive, keep going. You know, and so when we're not getting that from a nutritional standpoint, then that's going to affect us all the way around. That's not only going to affect, you know, our energy levels and things of that nature, but it's also going to affect the foods that we crave, because our bodies have the intelligence to naturally crave certain types of foods that will help it to keep functioning. You know, unfortunately, there's so many fake foods that are out here.
Yeah.
You know, and me saying fake foods, I mean foods that are not in their natural state that we're used to eating. Things that are heavily processed. They're put through a process. So instead of eating, rice in its natural form, for example, you know, we have white rice, which is like a polished strip. Stripped of the hull, stripped of the bran, which contains the bulk of the nutrients, is bleached white because no rice grows white.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this is what we're consuming on a daily basis, which is a concentrated type of a starch. You know,
exactly.
It's not a food.
Incredibly
so it's
dangerous.
No longer. Say that again.
So, which is incredibly dangerous, by the way.
Oh yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, and so when we start to eat foods that are not really foods, they're food-like substances. And our bodies have the intelligence to recognize, like, oh, okay, well, I know what this is supposed to be, you know, but it's lacking the things that it would normally give to the body. So the body starts to crave those things, and if you're used to getting it from that, you know, or the body recognizes that as a source that's supposed to have it, you may continuously crave those particular things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the components behind eating that I think is not often recognized, you know, especially by people who have not gone through the issue or who are not aware of exactly what's going on with the food.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Or, I mean, and also, too, just because you're not obese doesn't mean you're healthy. Just certain bodies are more sensitive to certain conditions that will encourage their bodies to gain more weight than other people. So just because you're smaller doesn't mean that you've been eating healthy either. There's plenty of thin, unhealthy people in the world. So don't be fooled by that. We covered that. So what is the difference between obese and overweight?
Well, to me, obese is when weight gets to a point where it is it becomes a danger to your health. You know, overweight, many people are overweight, and, you know, the overweight is not to say that that's not a concern, you know, but when you're obese, it means that your body is really congested, you know, and a lot of times, of course, that's very visible, you know, in the appearance, in the physical appearance of the person, you know, but it means that your body is really so congested with waste that it really becomes a danger, you know, to your body. That means that the risk of those different complications that we've just mentioned, you know, diabetes, the high blood pressure, the heart disease, cancer, which I didn't mention earlier, which is also a big one, asthma, sleep apnea, all of those different things jump up to a huge degree. So that's the main difference with obesity is that, you know, you're at a state where your body is really compromised as opposed to just being, you know, above the average accepted standard weight that, you know, that is considered to be healthy.
Yeah. And so why do you feel that some people are pre-genetically disposed to obesity?
Well, it's not that people are necessarily pre-genetically disposed to it.
Mm-hmm.
But what it is again, it's dealing with nutrition and it's dealing with, you know, even the nutrition from the family, you know, the family which comes from the eating habits. And it also comes with the eating habits of today's society. You know, so if we have certain nutrients that help to improve or help to maintain the functioning of the metabolism, and a metabolism is just a fancy word that means how fast your body is able to digest and process the food so it can be used for energy.
Mm-hmm.
So let's try to take away a lot of the mystery that's coming with these fancy words. A lot of people use these terms and don't really know what they mean. You know, but metabolism is just like how fast your body is able to digest, to process, you know, the food, the nutrients from the food so it can be used to fuel the body and eliminate the waste. You know, so if we have foods that, or nutrients rather, that naturally are needed for the body to be able to perform that function, and we are not getting those nutrients for whatever reason, then obviously it's going to slow down the body's ability to process, to digest those foods. When we're constantly eating things that take a long time for our bodies to digest, and we're not eliminating as quickly as we should, then that's going to slow down that process as well. So what happens is that all of these things will get backed up inside of your system because it's sitting as opposed to moving out. So moving out, that's through primarily the bowels. You know, when we have our bowel movements or we, you know, go to the bathroom and take a number two, as some people would call it, you know, or through urination or through sweating. You know, those are probably the three major aspects of how we dispose of waste in terms of weight release, you know, or weight disposal. You also have one of the major components of just how we release waste in general is breathing, you know, and so that also goes hand in hand, which is something that's not really looked upon that way, but it's a very important component also of just detoxification in general.
Exactly. Wow. Oxygenation is highly important for the body.
Absolutely.
So what are the ways in which somebody who, you know, is experiencing obesity, and like you said, the metabolism is really what's going on that really needs to be adjusted. So how can somebody, you know, change their metabolism? Because you're not just born with one metabolism, and that's your metabolism your whole life. Like people tend to think. So how can you change your metabolism?
Well, you know, again, we want to get to the foundation. So we're looking at, well, what is it that you're eating? Let's start with that. Let's start with what is it that you're eating? And is the foods or are the foods that you're eating helping to speed up your metabolism or are they slowing down your metabolism? So that's the first thing you want to look at. So, of course, we have mentioned the processed foods, you know, which is pretty much anything that comes in a package. You know, if it's not fresh, then more than likely it's processed. If it comes in a box, if it comes in a can, if it comes in a tin, you know, any of those type of things, please excuse the noise in the background. I'm outside. But if it comes in a box, a can, a tin, you know, a package, then more than likely those type of things are going to slow down your metabolism. Why? Because what helps to promote the metabolism are live nutrients, things that are called enzymes, you know, which are types of proteins that help to stimulate reactions in the body.
Mm-hmm.
So things that are in cans, that are in boxes, that are in, you know, all of those have been usually
mm-hmm.
heated up to a point where heat kills enzymes. When it's heated up to a high degree and then you have different things that are added to it, like
mm-hmm.
preservatives and whatnot, you know, and one of the reasons why things are heated up and with juices and things of that nature even,
mm-hmm.
You know, where they're pasteurized, which is a heating up, a boiling process. And one of the reasons is to kill the enzymes, because enzymes will cause foods to spoil faster.
Mm-hmm.
That means that spoiling is actually a good thing in a way. You know, it's a good sign of something that you are eating if it spoils quickly, because
mm-hmm.
that means that it will break down in your system much more easily.
Mm-hmm.
You know, things that don't spoil quickly will take a longer time for your body to break down because those enzymes are not present to help break it down. You know, and so we want to start to incorporate more foods that have enzymes in them, you know, which are your live or raw foods. And in particular, you know, there are certain foods that have higher enzymatic levels,
mm-hmm.
you know, which include things like pineapples, you know, and foods like papaya. You know, papaya, particularly unpeeled, you know,
mm-hmm.
because the major component of the enzymes are found in the skin part of the papaya.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you also have things like ginger. You know, you have turmeric. These are the fresh ones, you know, utilizing fresh ginger, fresh turmeric,
mm-hmm.
utilizing peppermint. You know, these things all are very high enzymatic foods. There's a root vegetable called daikon, you know, which is used a lot in Japanese cuisine. And that's also a very high enzymatic food, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to start to incorporate more of these things as well into our daily eating habits, which is
mm-hmm.
going to help stimulate the process of breaking down foods and helping to eliminate waste at a faster rate inside of the body.
Definitely. So, I mean, why is obesity so common in America? You don't see this as a global issue, per se. I mean, it's probably increasingly becoming more of a global issue. But it's definitely something that affects America specifically. You see, like, the little commercials or Mrs. Obama's on TV talking about you better get outside and run, child. You know, like, that whole campaign that's going on. So especially among people of color, why is obesity so common in America?
Well, I mean, we can talk about the eating habits here all day. That's one of the primary things. When we look at the eating habits here as in comparison to other places in the world, you know,
mm-hmm.
other places in the world will tend to eat a lot more fresh food. You know, even if
yeah.
they cook fresh foods, they
True.
Will eat a lot more natural foods, a lot more fresh foods, as opposed to here where a lot of things are on the go and it's our lifestyle. You know, everything
yeah.
is very, for lack of a better term, microwave here. You know,
mm-hmm.
where it's just whatever's the quickest, whatever would get us on our way out the door as fast as possible, and that's not always mm-hmm. the best thing for us. So people
Very
microwave
true.
Foods a lot more often here. The convenience factor is always there because you have so many fast food restaurants. You have,
mm-hmm.
you know, places that serve, you know, just whatever is appeasing to the taste and not necessarily for the body's health, you know. And then you have the different commercials and advertisements. So we have to look at that aspect of it. And how that
Definitely.
Influences people's decisions and their choices on the foods that they eat.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have to look at the stress. And the stress is a very, very huge factor here, especially amongst African-American or black people here in the United States, because that's one of the biggest factors. And a lot of people don't recognize the connection between stress and obesity.
This is
and
true.
We're not just talking about the fact that, okay, well, I'm stressed out, so I'm going to go and eat more food, which is a big thing too. But
yeah.
Stress also has a physiological effect on the body that affects the hormones, which will cause the body to retain weight.
Exactly.
So when you're under a large amount of stress, as many of us are here in the United States, through trying to pay our bills and financial troubles, through relationship troubles, through things with our families, you know, through situational stuff happening, you know, plus being inequipped nutritionally to deal with that type of stress, our body starts to release different hormones from the adrenal glands. You know, one, adrenaline, which many people are very aware of, but then there's another hormone that's called cortisol. You know, and cortisol is another thing that will cause the body to retain weight. Then you have estrogen.
Especially in the belly area.
Absolutely. But then you have estrogen. And estrogen, you know, which is considered a sex hormone. But estrogen is a very, very important factor in weight retention. And one thing that's with a lot of the foods that we're eating here, and it's not just foods, by the way, but foods, especially animal-based foods. Many animals are injected with artificial estrogens, and the purpose of those estrogens are to fatten those animals up so you can get more weight and make more money off of the meat and the sales of the meat of those particular animals, particularly chicken. You know, so you see that in, you know, pork is naturally high in a lot of this, these things as well. But especially chicken, even though a lot of people regard chicken as one of the healthier meats to eat, it's actually one of the unhealthiest meats to eat. And so with a large amount of chicken consumption.
Man, I was eating chicken every day.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Every
you know,
single day.
But it's blowing us up. It's blowing us up as a culture. You know,
it
because
is.
they're injecting these chickens with all of these artificial estrogens. And the artificial estrogens, one of the things that estrogen does in the body is that it causes the body to retain fat and water. And so during certain times of you know, the women's lives cycles of life, you know, they will have higher estrogen levels for that purpose. So, like, when they're breastfeeding, for example, where the body needs more fat and more water for to produce breast milk, then higher estrogenic things, you know, are more necessary or more beneficial for the body, and the body will naturally produce higher levels of estrogen. You know, during certain points of the cycle, the body will be more prone to produce higher levels of estrogen. You know, and that's usually where that bloating and things of that nature are taking place in a woman's menstrual cycle. You know, so there's different points in time where body will produce more levels of estrogen. Well, what if we're constantly consuming high levels of artificial estrogen? And so we're increasing the levels of estrogen in our bodies all the time. So we're naturally causing our bodies to retain fat and water on a constant basis. In addition to all of those things with our metabolism not being able to break down foods properly and things of that nature or at an efficient rate. You know, so all of this plays into the weight gain and obesity in this country particularly because it's at a higher level than in many other areas of the world.
Definitely. I mean, there's a particular school of thought. You know, we always hear all of these fad diets. You know, the new eat only bacon diet. The new, you know what I mean? Like ridiculous diets. Like the new only breathe three times diet. You know, like eat a Tic Tac diet. Like crazy diets out there.
Work.
They don't work.
To the people who've created these diets. Wow.
Oh, they get right.
You know, I don't want to say any names. You know, we can put it out there. but wow. You know, when you look at that. But you know, the proof's in the pudding. And you know, again, that's why it's important to focus on health as opposed to weight loss.
Exactly.
Because, you know, you can lose all the weight in the world. But if you're not focused on your health, then you can still, you know, lose your life at an early age. You can lose
Very
the quality
true.
Of your life at an early age, which is never
Very
a good
true.
Look. And,
I mean,
we can be skinny and have asthma. It's still not a good look when you're walking around with black circles around your eyes because you can't breathe. You know, so all of these different things are contributing to not only the overall state of our well-being, but also the cosmetic aspect as well.
Yep, very true, very true. So they really don't help. The diet stop the madness because it got dye in it. So
yes,
stop
yes,
dieting
yes.
and start changing your lifestyle. Very different.
Can I just make a real quick comment to in addition to that? Because
yeah.
I want to talk about the gastric bypass surgeries that
Ooh,
a lot of people...
it was in my head. It popped up. I was going to say something. You got it. Go ahead.
Yeah. We're on the same wavelength because
exactly.
a lot of people look to that as the quick fix to losing weight. You know, the gastric
yeah.
bypass and the lap bands and all of these different
yeah.
things, you know.
Don't even.
And not to say that they don't work.
However, exactly. There's a cost.
You know, yeah, however, it's like after that, where do you go from there? You know,
exactly.
because I think a lot of people have the misconception that, okay, well, once I have this lap band and my stomach is shrunk down to a certain size, I can't eat anymore. And, you know, so that's going to force me to have the discipline or it's going to force my weight to stay down because I can only fit a certain amount of food in my stomach. Well, guess
yeah.
what? You can only fit a certain amount of your food in your stomach now.
Exactly.
You know, and if the disciplinary practices are not there now, what makes you think that they're going to be there then? Because I know stories of people who have had lap bands, who have had their stomach stapled, and because they still don't have those disciplinary practices, they broke the staples
exactly.
in the lap band.
Ooh, child. Mm-mm.
Can you imagine that happening? So that actually complicates things a lot worse. Then people on top of that, you know, lifestyle-wise, they're not
exactly.
doing things to promote what it is that they've had done as far as the surgical procedures. You know, and so you might lose weight at a rapid rate, but you're not exercising and you're not toning those areas where the weight is dropping off, but then you get the hanging skin thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get, you know, your energy levels are still down. You still don't want to do anything, so you don't feel as good. You know, there's
exactly.
a lot of complications that are still taking place. So I just want to urge everyone who may be
yep.
considering that, you know, mm-hmm. to even if you do that, and I'm not an advocate of that at all,
mm-hmm.
you know, but even if you do that, you want to start to set the habits in place now before
exactly.
that even goes down, you know,
exactly.
so that you are able to maintain a lifestyle that's going to keep you healthy and get you the results that you want to get ultimately.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of the dietary recommendations that are recommended through that diet, through the Western medical system, are horrible advice. First off, let me say that.
Oh, wow, yes.
Not good at they encourage you to eat a lot of fat-free things and sugar-free things. And as we both know, they contain those types of food contain a lot of preservatives and unnatural processed foods. So
yeah.
you're pretty much switching from one poison to another just so that it cosmetically and aesthetically doesn't look as bad, but still can cause major internal problems and issues. And there have been, I've heard horror stories of complications through those surgeries. And then, of course, you know, once it's one surgery, what's another surgery to get your tummy tucked? What's another surgery to make, you know, take care of the loose hanging skin and all these different things? And
yeah.
It's not necessary. First off, your stomach will naturally adjust if you have discipline. So your stomach will naturally shrink in size according to what types of food you're eating and how much of it you're eating. So
Absolutely.
To go inside of yourself and cut yourself open to do something that naturally occurs in your body with a little bit of willpower is really, really unnecessary, and it's dangerous, and it's just it's not the responsible way to lose weight, and it's not going to cause long-term results. I know so many people who go and get the surgery, and 5 years later, they're obese again.
Yep, yep. And
because they didn't have the discipline.
Same thing, same thing. You know, I can definitely attest to that.
Exactly. So it's not the long-term fix that you're looking for, and it's definitely not something that's going to, you know, encourage you to be more healthy. It's really more of a cosmetic thing. I mean, some people say they do it because, you know, their doctor said that they're going to have health problems if they stay obese and blah, 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 and I understand the pressures of that, but, I mean, if you haven't really fully done your research as a responsible individual on what specifically is creating the obesity, like Dr. Yuma was talking about, for you, I mean, and address that root cause and that root issue, then, you know, you're probably not going to be very successful with that whole journey. And even if you are, you might be very, very sick throughout the process. So we're going to take a quick commercial break. After we come back, I'm also going to bring on Sister Sophia from Sophia Hills, and we're going to talk a little bit about our detox program as well as finish up the rest of this interview with Dr. Yuma. So please stay tuned for these messages. All right, here we go.
Ladies, it's Israel the Poet. Do you love stylish jewelry but are also health and spiritually conscious? Many stylish pieces contain metals and plastics which can irritate the skin and do absolutely nothing for the spirit. So why not be in style while aiding your spirit? Gemini Creations presents Angel Wings, our newest earring line that infuses radiant feather earrings with angelic spiritual gemstones. So look great while aiding your spirit. To check them out, visit GeminiCreations.com. That's GeminiCreations.com. Like us on Facebook. That's Facebook.com/GeminiCreations. Or you can contact Tay Queen through TayQueen@Hotmail.com. That's TayQueen@Hotmail.com. Peace and blessings always.
Are you looking for a place to sell your products online? Not interested in hiring expensive web developers? Do you love to buy cultural and ethnic products directly from manufacturers? Well, look no further. NewShop.com is the number one online marketplace to buy and sell multicultural and ethnic products. It's as easy as 1, 2, 3. Get your free e-store, post your products to sell, and make money. Sell books, clothing and apparel, jewelry, bath products, beauty products, health products, accessories, holistic products, even ebooks and downloadable music files. The list goes on. No sign-up fees, no contracts, no annoying product listing fees or confusing HTML coding. It's quick, easy, customizable. Go to NewShop.com for your 9-day free trial today. NewShop.com, the number one online marketplace for multicultural and ethnic products. That's www.nuwshop. All payments and transactions on NewShop.com is clearly processed through PayPal.
Many health concerns such as obesity, fatigue, high blood pressure, allergies, and many more symptoms are but signs that the body is overloaded with toxins. It's that time of year again where the seasons change and so do our bodies. So Sophia Hills, along with Gemini Creations, have put together a basic detoxification program that will help you detox your body regardless of what stage you are within your health practices. We will offer 4 different levels of detox, ranging from beginners to advanced. We will also provide all the materials you will need to get started, as well as weekly check-ins, anytime group access, recipes, and a 20% discount on any of the Sophia Hills or Gemini Creations products or services. The 21-day Fall Equinox Detox will begin on September 21st. Registration is only $25 and ends September 19th. To register, visit sophiahills.bigcartel.com. That's S-A-F-I-Y-A-H, heels.bigcartel.com, or GeminiCreations.newshop.com. That's G-E-M-I-N-E-Y-E, creation with an S, dot N-U-W, shop.com, or email us, taequeen@hotmail.com, T-A-E-Q-U-E-E-N @hotmail.com, or SophiaHeals@gmail.com. Let the healing begin. Peace and blessings.
Hey, peace and best blessings. We are back on air live with Dr. Yuma talking about overcoming obesity, a subject I am oh so well familiar with. And I'm sure Dr. Yuma is just waiting to get started again back into this interview portion. But we just played a commercial, and that was the debut of that commercial. Yay, so proud of it. It's
all right.
Hi, little woman. Debut of the commercial for our detox. And again, definitely, you know, this. It's not just about, again, you concentrating on losing weight. When you focus on your overall health, and detoxification is an imperative process within that. Mm-hmm. When you focus on your overall health, you'll be making a grave difference, you know, with your whole overall body weight, equilibrium, just the whole overall functioning processes within your body. So definitely go check that out if you're interested. Again, sign up does end pretty soon. I know, you guys, short notice. But, I mean, it's definitely something we're going to do again, and I've enjoyed putting this together. And Sophia is just an awesome person. We're going to bring her on in a little bit. So how you doing on the battery, Yuma?
Me?
Yeah.
So far, so good.
All right. Awesome. All right. So let's finish up this portion of the interview. So, I mean, why do you feel obesity is affecting younger and younger generations?
Well, because as the generations have passed, you know, have continued to have a debilitating state of health, you know, it's being passed down because they don't have the proper fortitude or nutritional fortitude to pass down to the younger generations. And so they have less to work with. They don't have that same head start that generations of past have had, you know. So it's like, it's almost like, you know, you have a bank, you know, and you're taking out of the bank, but you're not putting anything back in, you know. Then eventually, you know, your bank account is going to keep getting depleted and lower and lower and lower until, you know, the money's not there. And so the same thing goes with nutrition. You know, when we first come out as newborns, you know, or even in the womb, you know, we are feeding off the nutrients of our parents, you know, and if we don't have that right start nutritionally because they don't have it and their state of health is compromised, then when we come out, we're more prone to that because we're going to be lacking certain nutrients, you know. And so if our lifestyle is not supportive of replenishing those nutrients that our body needs, then, you know, we're already off to the wrong foot.
Definitely, I agree. And I mean, again, also just to reemphasize, I mean, the diet is horrible right now. On top of that, of what you just said, we are eating high fructose corn syrup like it is air. You know, all these genetically modified foods, which nobody really fully knows what the effects are on the body long term. I mean, there's just so many different things going on, and on top of the unhealthy lifestyle. So it's fostering obesity at younger and younger ages. I definitely suffered from obesity from a very early age, And I think it was four. I think I just was overweight since the age of four. So I had been overweight my whole life. And so it was like a complete, I had to get used to being skinny. It was funny. I was like, ooh, I can fit here. Anyway, so, yeah. So how has the, we already talked about that. So would you consider obesity to be a disease? Because, I mean, some people don't feel that it is. So what would you say that it is?
Well, you know, from the school of thought that I come from, you know, we don't believe in disease.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a condition
mm-hmm.
that can be overturned. You know, but
mm-hmm.
we don't want to call it a disease. We don't want to claim that, because when we claim that, we start to embody that. And disease
mm-hmm.
becomes a fallback excuse for a lot of people. Oh, it's a disease, so
this
it's not
true.
My fault. It is your fault, because it is what you're doing that's contributing to your condition. Nobody else is contributing to your condition but you. You know, so we have to take more responsibility, and we don't want to, you know, put out that we have a disease and take the power out of our hands and our ability to overturn our conditions.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree with you. I mean, even if you were to call it a disease, there's nothing, I just want to say this for the record, period. And I always say this, I think every time we do a show, I say, there's nothing on the planet that you can't heal yourself from. And I say that, affirmatively, just like, I truly do not believe in something that can claim you and take you out. If you can hook up and link up with the right information and the right treatment plans that are really going to restore your body back to its natural balance, then you can overcome anything that's out there. So that's just period with everything. Don't, obesity, whatever it is, don't allow these fear-based campaigns that are waged in the media to control your mind into thinking that there's some obscure disease that's going to take your life. I mean, not to say that disease isn't a reality and that there aren't people who are very sick in this world, but there are also other conditions other than nutrition that also contribute to it, but it is a very big component, and you have to be honest with yourself. You are what you eat. It's not a saying because it sounds good. Like, it's a saying because it's very true. So definitely want to put that out there into the ethers. So, I mean, what are some holistic steps that we can take towards curing or towards overcoming obesity, rather?
Okay, well, the first thing is that we have to start with the spirit, you know, because
mm-hmm.
when we're looking at the spiritual component, the spirit is our driving force. That's our direction,
mm-hmm.
you know, and the energy that we're going to put forth towards doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever we want to do for ourselves, we want to start out with a good energy. We want to start out with a good direction.
Definitely.
You know, and so with that, one thing that we want to do is we want to let go of a lot of negative energy that we're holding on to for
mm-hmm.
whatever it may be. You know,
yep.
So if it's at work, you know, we want to leave work at work. You know, we don't want to take work outside of work with us and bring it home and
mm-hmm.
allow those emotions to manifest through our physical being. You know, we
yeah.
want to leave certain things, make sure that we don't carry that, especially for a lot of empathetic individuals
mm-hmm.
who are more prone
yeah.
to weight gain, you know, or weight retention, because we're more empathetic, and so
mm-hmm.
we tend to take on a lot, and in turn, you know, that manifests through the physical body as, you know, holding on to a lot
exactly.
of weight. You know, with
exactly.
the energy in the flesh. You know,
mm-hmm.
we want to let go of that type of thing and make sure that we do, you know, utilizing affirmation, the beautiful one
yep.
that you gave at the beginning of the show, you know, to leave certain things behind and to bring more positive things with you as you go along throughout the rest of your day, throughout the rest of your life, and even through the processes where you may be facing some challenges. You know,
yep,
so that's
exactly.
one of the good things. To start out with.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing is that you want to start to fill yourself or fill your life with more positive activities. You know, doing
yes.
things that you love to do. that helps a lot with releasing negative energy, because now you're filling it with positive, and the two, the negative and the positive cannot coexist in the same space at the same time. So you're not going to be able to smile and frown at the same time. You can't laugh and cry at the same time. You know, it's just not going to happen. So the more positive things that you fill your life with, that you love to do, for some people, especially things that are dealing with movement, you know, so for some people it may be dancing. For me, it's drumming. You know, for some people it may be sewing. For some people it may be jogging or running, you know. But there's so many different things that people love to do that they tend to neglect, you know, and because they're neglecting that, then it's like they don't really have the you know, spiritual nutrition, as I would like to call it.
Definitely.
To fulfill into
it's
a mystical life.
I like that phrase.
Yeah, so, you know, we want to start to bring those things back to the forefront. We have to prioritize it sometimes and make those things important, you know, or make them important to us as far as our priorities and what we're doing, you know, and not things that stress you out, not giving that the power to be the most important things in your life. Secondly, you know, dealing with the mental aspect, how we perceive our being, how we perceive our weight, you know, how we perceive what it is that we're eating. We want to look at that. We want to start to arm ourselves with more information, you know, that's going to help to bring our perspective, right, you know, bring our perspective to what it is that we want to accomplish for ourselves, to being more conducive to that, you know. So a lot of times people will say things like, well, so I wanted to eat right, but, you know, I went to this family cookout and, you know.
We've all been there, though. I've been there. Yeah. Been there.
Yeah.
You gotta get that strength, though. You gotta be like, no, I ain't eating this burger and macaroni and cheese, even though it looked good. You gotta throw it down.
You know, but
you gotta bring your own
food.
That's part
of the environment, also.
Of
the environment, also. But I'm using that as an example of mental fortitude, because when your mind is set on what it is that you're supposed to do, there's no excuse. You know, but because we perceive that, okay, well, if we go to this family function and they have chicken there and they have pork chops and they have cake, if I don't eat that, then I'm going to be looked at a certain way. I'm not going to
be. And you will be. I'm just going to be honest with you.
And
you definitely
true.
Will be looked at a certain way, but you just eat your lentils and your brown rice in that corner and be like, you want some?
you have to prepare yourself. You have to prepare yourself. You have to know what it is that you want to do. And you have to have the information to support yourself in making those types of decisions. You know, so that's very important. So that's the mental component, is to be able to have that fortitude and the information to support that structure, that foundation. Very, very important. So that way you know that you come in with an agenda, with a purpose, and you're going to stick with that purpose. You know, then the physical component. You know, we want to make sure that we are moving. You know, making sure that we get our exercise. And though exercise is a major component that can help to stimulate, you know, it's not the only component, but it's a very important one nonetheless. And some of us think that, okay, well, we can go on these diets, you know, but we don't exercise. And you wonder why the weight is coming off a lot more slowly. You know, well, that's because you're not moving, and when you move, that stimulates your body to move as well, your internal organs to move. You know, it stimulates the lymphatic system, which is another, you know, form of detoxification through the body. It stimulates the lymphatic system to be able to drain properly, so it can get rid of a lot of the waste that's stored there. You know, and so the lymphatic,
the lymph
nodes is all over the body. All over the body, very, very important system to deal with, you know. And so you definitely want to make sure that you're doing the proper movements and, you know, being able to stimulate. Another component physically that movement deals with is helping to stimulate sugar to be brought to the cells to be used as energy, you know. So that's another very, very important component, because sugar in the body when your body's inactive and you have all of this sugar, which is supposed to be brought to the cells so it could be burned off so the body can use it for fuel or for energy. If it doesn't get used as energy or fuel, then what happens to that sugar? It sits in the body and it converts into fat. Because the body will store it. So we want to make sure that as much of that gets used as possible. And unfortunately, a lot of us here, one of the biggest eating problems that we have is the consumption of sugar. You know,
yeah.
Sugar is put in just about everything. And it's not even real sugar, it's fake sugar.
Yep.
You know, and so it's like our bodies can't handle
everything.
All that. Oh,
everything.
Wow. It's crazy.
You'd be surprised at the stuff that sugar is in.
Yeah, you know, and again, it's fake sugar. We want to reemphasize that point because the real sugar, you know, which comes from fruits, from even vegetables, whole grains, things of that nature, doesn't have the same effect. Because sugar is part of everything that we eat, or everything that we eat will convert into sugar into some type of way, shape, or form. But that's real sugar as opposed to a concentrated, you know, denatured type of a sugar, which our bodies
simple
are
sugar.
Not built to process. You know, that's the white sugar, the brown sugar, the high fructose corn syrups, other types of corn syrups, maple syrup, especially the grade A maple syrup, which is most commonly used. You know, and so many other different concentrated sweeteners, including honey. You know, so these are all things that we want to make sure that we avoid as much as possible, because especially in being inactive, you know what I mean? Because those are the things that are really packing on the pounds for many of our people here. You know, and it's estimated that we need about, give or take, about 13 teaspoons of sugar a day in order to keep ourselves up and running. And the average American consumes about 42.5 teaspoons of sugar. 13, 42. You do the math.
More than triple.
Yes, indeed. You know, so that's a big component. Nutritionally speaking as well, you know, there's a couple other things that you can utilize, some tips and things that you can utilize that will help you with feeding your metabolism. You know, so one thing is that we don't want to starve ourselves. You know, you want to make sure that you are utilizing. Now, if you're going through a detox or a fast, that's a little
you
bit
will
different.
Be hungry. This is normal.
Yeah, that's a little different. You know,
exactly. You will be hungry on a fast. Just let you know. Don't be scared
well,
of the hungry.
Not all the time. You know, now what will happen on a fast sometimes is that you may start out, but more so.
No, as you
fast,
go, definitely you get used to it. But if you first detox your first time, you're going to be hungry. Just be honest with you. Don't be real. Stay going to be real with people. You're going to be a little hungry. Don't be scared of the hunger. It's actually, most of the time, it's just going to be you craving things you're not really supposed to eat anyway. And it's not that your body is not getting so much nutrients.
Real quick. Because it depends on what type of fast or what type of detox you're doing.
This is true.
Not all detoxes and not all fasts are the same. Fast and detox are two very umbrella terms. And I want to clear that up for the listening audience. That they're two very umbrella terms. They're very generalized terms. There's so many different ways that you can detox methodically, you know, and so we don't want to just put it out there that, you know, this will happen when you're doing a detox when, you know, there's different types of detoxes that can produce different results, you know,
this
and
is
so.
This is true, but don't be alarmed at the hunger.
Right. No, absolutely. Especially for those who are not used to it. But one point that I wanted to bring forth is that a lot of the hunger will be more mental than physical.
That's exactly what I just said.
Yeah, it will definitely be a lot more mental than physical. And what I mean by that is that because you're used to eating in certain patterns or eating certain foods or what have you that are heavier in nature, then you will feel that you need to be that because you're just used to it. It's a habit. It's not that your body necessarily craves that or necessarily needs that, you know, but it's that you're just used to doing it. It's like some people who smoke, and they're just used to smoking. It's not that they always crave the cigarette, but the cigarette kind of fills a space in their life because they're used to it, you know. And so with that, again, that's where it comes with being very strong in your purpose. You know, when you come into doing something like this, you have to expect, okay, well, there's going to be this mental challenge that I have to get past because I'm used to doing this. But part of that fortitude, you know, that will come with doing it, you know, will help you through the process, you know. But you have to come into it knowing that this is what I'm doing and I'm set in doing this and nothing is going to change it.
Exactly.
And once you have your mind made up, you can get through anything that you go through, and it will always subside. And the hunger usually, when the hunger is there, usually doesn't even last long.
Nope. It doesn't. Don't be scared of the hunger pains. A lot of times it's just you trying to eat some potato chips, and you know you're not supposed to be eating them right now. So that's what happened to me. I was like, chips? Because you know you're not really hungry when you're eating something else and you're still hungry. And you're like, I'm clearly eating almonds right now. Why am I still hungry? So, yeah, it's very much so a mental process. All right. Well, I'm going to bring on Sophia from Sophia Hills and bring her on real quickly to say hello and wrap up the show. And definitely I want to encourage everybody who has a comment or a question to call in. The call in number is 917-932-8881. And we do have two great herbalists on the line. I just want to talk to Sophia Hill, Sophia, real quick. I was about to call you Sophia Hill, Sophia. So I did too much commercial today. That's what happened. So, yes. So I just want to bring you on and just let everybody again reiterate that we are doing this fall equinox detox fasting session and, you know, and bring Sophia on. She's definitely a great, great herbalist in her own right, and she has a lot of information. So I just wanted to bring her on the line and let her talk a little bit about the subject as well. So, Sophia, I know you have a story as well about losing weight and overcoming certain aspects of the weight issue.
Yeah, I sure do, and thanks for having me on.
No problem.
So, kind of like you, I had always had a weight problem from the time I was in fifth grade.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, people might have teased me about it, but it was accepted, especially because I was proportioned, if that makes sense. So
yeah.
I just looked curvy. Mm-hmm. And basically, I started on a journey when I was probably in my late 30s, and I said, you know what, I don't want to. It wasn't about the weight loss, as you were saying. It was more about I was starting to have health issues. And so I wanted to be healthy.
Exactly.
So I went on a detox, and it was like a spiritual detox. It was with my spiritual center, and we all, you know, just released all kinds of weight, and we really weren't even trying. And after that, I got into fitness, you know, big time, and I was still doing things the wrong way, though. I was eating a lot of like the sugars, like the like the Splendas and things like that, fat-free this, fat-free that, sugar-free this, sugar-free that.
Yes.
And that was really, you know, I was thin, but I was eating a lot of bad stuff. And then I got pregnant with twins at, I believe I was like 38 or 39, and so that kind of threw a wrench in my game because, of course, in a pregnancy, you can't eat that type of stuff. It's not healthy for the babies. It's not healthy for us either. And After the pregnancy, my weight did not drop off really fast like I was used to, and part of that was not being able to have those sugar substitutes and all those things that help us lose weight but kill our body in the process.
Mm.
So I had always known how to eat healthy and holistic, and, you know, went through different phases of my life where I did, so I knew what to do. And, you know, it was awesome, started working out, and, you know, things started dropping for me, so it was amazing. But also for me, it was an incorporation of herbs to help heal some of my degenerative diseases that I'd created through all of this. So it was a good journey. I'm still on it. Still have 30 pounds to release, but altogether, I believe, and, you know, it's funny, I don't always add, but I believe I've released about 50 altogether. So I have 30 more, and I'm ready to make it happen.
All right. Amazing. All right. We do have a caller on the line with a question. Caller from the 215 area code, you're live on Conversations with the Queen. Do you have any comments or questions?
Hey, I actually do have a comment/question. The one thing, I've been listening to the entire show, and I've been, like, typing my little notes and everything, but the one thing that took me completely by surprise was, honey is bad for us? What? Like, why? Why is that? As far as, you know, the sugars and stuff, what's wrong with honey?
Okay, I think Dr. Yuma can handle that.
Well, yeah, honey, most of the honey that's in the stores now is not real honey that's natural. It's honey that's processed, concentrated honey. It's where all of the nutrients are filtered out. It goes through a heating process that kills the enzymes. So it's lacking the bee pollen. It's lacking the propolis. All of those things that you find in a health food store as a supplement that are naturally usually found in honey. So when you go to the supermarket and you pick up a honey, you're usually picking up a liquid honey that will pour very easily, and it's a concentrated sugar. And the body treats it as such because there's no nutritional content. It's just empty calories, you know. And so when we're using this as a sweetener and we're using this as a regular basis, it's pretty much the same as using white sugar.
Okay. And what about agave then?
So what about agave?
Yeah. So I was wondering, because I just been introduced to that, like, not too long ago. I used agave, and I have the honey, but I also recently bought the organic raw honey, and I do notice the difference in texture. So.
Yeah, the raw honey
is
the real.
Absolutely. Yeah, now the organic raw honey, if it's unfiltered, now that's another term that you want to make sure you look for. If you're utilizing honey, you want to make sure that the honey is unfiltered. Now, if you're using organic, raw, unfiltered honey, then it's a little different. That's actually helpful in weight loss because honey is a natural emulsifier, which helps to break down fat, you know. But, again, you want to moderate how much of it that you're utilizing as well. You don't want to utilize a whole bunch, you know, in a day and think, oh, just because it breaks down fat, it's for sugar, you know. And if the same principles are still in place, you're not being active, you're not, you know what I mean, and you're using a whole bunch of sugar and you're taking in more calories than your body is able to burn off, you know, then it's still going to be storing fat inside of the body, you know. So that's the thing, you want to make sure that you use that moderately, but that type is a lot better for you as opposed to most commercialized store-bought honeys. As far as agave can go through the same process, actually. You know, and so you have the raw agave, you know, which is a little bit better, you know. But, you know, you want to moderate how much of it that you utilize. Because, again, you know, agave, one thing about agave is that agave is high in fructose as opposed to glucose, which is a different type of sugar. You know, there's three basic sugars, which is fructose, glucose, and galactose. And with fructose tends to absorb more slowly inside of the bloodstream. You know, however, it's still a sugar. And high levels of fructose, you know, can lead to weight gain as well as per high fructose corn syrup. You know, so if you use too much agave can function in the body like high fructose corn syrup. You know, so you want to make sure to moderate it, and you want to try to use the things that are a little bit more raw, closer to natural as possible.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. Hope that answered your question.
Yes, it did, because I really thought I was doing something good when I was using agave. It's not that I use too much of it anyway, but, yeah.
I mean, the best thing to do is adjust your taste buds to not being on sugar 150 billion anyway, because, like, that's where most of us are in our practices. We're used to eating high amounts of sugar, and our taste buds have become sugar overloaded. So you kind of want to step back, you know what I mean, on the whole sugary process, and then use fruits. They got natural sugar in them, like, you know, in moderation again as well. You don't want to OD on the fruit either, but at the same time, you know, fruits are going to be naturally, you know, whole foods, so it's okay to use them, you know, in moderation again in order to sweeten foods.
Okay. And I have one more comment.
Mm-hmm.
See, as far as the mental versus physical aspect of it, one thing I realize about myself is when I'm eating certain things, like things I have no business eating, or, you know, if I'm eating stuff that's good for me, sometimes I just catch myself thinking to myself, why am I eating this? I'm not even hungry. I'm just eating it just because. So, like, I don't know. And then sometimes, well, I can't say it's good that I'm catching myself, but it's bad that I just go ahead and eat it anyway, and then I'm like, oh, I'll feel all guilty about it later. So what are your thoughts about how to help break out of that cycle? Because it happens here and there. It happens less than before, but sometimes I just fall into it. I'm like, you know what, just this one time, or, you know, because I really do say to myself, oh, I'm just eating it just because. Like, I don't want to be hungry.
Well, from my perspective, I would say two things. One is that you want to look at the emotional connection. You know, so a lot of times when that happens, it's during certain emotional times. So something might be going on, you know, situationally for you where it's triggering a certain emotion, and that food may be helping to comfort you for that emotion. And so with emotional eating, you know, you want to look at the second thing, which is what are you getting from that food? And then once you are able to identify what it is that you get from that food, then you may be able to find a better replacement for it. You know what I mean? So emotional eating can actually be helpful if you utilize it the right way, you know, because you crave certain foods. Again, you know, from a nutritional standpoint, they tend to have nutrients that your body needs to help it cope with whatever it's going through, you know. But however, you want to make sure that you're getting it from the right sources and not from the wrong ones, you know. And so by helping to or looking at examining it more closely, and one thing that helps with that is keeping a food journal, you know. So, like, once you're eating certain types of foods, you know, you write down how you're feeling, what type of food you're eating at that particular time frame, how you felt beforehand, how you feel while you're eating it, how you feel after. And once you, you know, examine it and you look at the patterns, you can start to identify those things a lot more easily.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to do that, yeah.
Great idea.
You know, and I would even add to that a little bit, too, that I know with women, we tend to crave, like, chocolate, and we tend to crave
sugar. Oh, my God. My newest twist right now is the River Sport chocolate with the hazelnut in it. It's one of my friend's fault. It's all his fault. He introduced it to me, and I've been eating that particular chocolate ever since. I go right to Trader Joe's and get it all the time.
Yeah, and it's and really
it's
with
so
chocolate.
It's so bad. Oh, my God. It tastes so good. It's so bad. Oh, my God.
And we're just typically craving magnesium. Just like the doctor said, there's some sort of nutrient that your body needs. So it's important to know where foods to go to instead of. So that's a good call out.
Definitely. So you might just need some more magnesium. So find some other sources of magnesium and step away from the chocolate bar.
And it is possible because I love chocolate. And, you know, a lot of times you can even do things like eat cacao.
And, yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
All right. So I hope that answers your question. Thank you for calling in, girl.
Thank you. All right.
All right, Steve. All right, we do have another caller on the line, caller from the 720 area code. We have 5 minutes left on the live stream, so if you are listening in through the live stream, call in right now, 917-932-8881, and we're going to answer these couple of questions we have on the line. Caller from the 720 area code, you are live on Conversations with the Queen. Do you have any comments or questions?
All right, well, good evening, good evening. I do have a question. Okay, I'm thinking about this. Somebody going on a 100% vegan or 100% raw diet. Now, based on a... Now, is it still required to have a 1,200-calorie diet? And how is that possible to do that just on vegetables? And, you know.
Well, one of the big misconceptions about being vegan or being raw is that you're just eating this monotonous type of, you know, food choices. And that's a big misconception, because there's a wide variety of different types of foods that you can eat that's in the vegetarian kingdom. You know what I mean? A lot of us just get hung up on meats, and starches. You know, and so, again, it's about changing the perception. You know, you have avocados, which are rich in healthy fats and proteins, which have a very high caloric value. You know, you have different types of seeds and nuts, you know, which have a high caloric value. And then you have your fruits, which typically have higher caloric value. You know, so calories usually come from fats and sugars, and there's plenty of that within, you know, the plant kingdom. You know, so yes, you can still maintain that. It is still good to maintain that if you're trying to lose weight. You know, because if you don't, then, you know, again, it goes back to that starvation principle. And when your body is not getting what it needs, then it will tend to hold on to fat a lot more. It will tend to hold on to the sugar a lot more. You know, so you want to make sure that you're able to feed your body what it needs.
I hope that answered your question.
Yeah, definitely. Because, I mean, you know, I'm not exactly like 100%, and I still pertain, like, maybe, you know, and I was just reading, you know, that, you know, I was reading something just recently where it was just talking about how even trying to get rid of just meat, period, out of your diet. And so I'm just kind of curious. That's why I was my curiosity. I'm saying, okay, how would you maintain that calories? Because, you know, like you were saying, you don't want to starve your body. And, you know, because your body will hold on to that fat because it thinks it's starving itself out in order to survive. So that's why I was that question. That's why I was asking that. I mean, so how would you, like, the grains? And grains, like, would that be, like, a lot of grains and liniments?
Well, yeah, I tend to use whole grains personally myself.
Yeah.
You know, it varies with the person, though. Some people don't take the grains as well, you know. Some people may take the root vegetables better, you know. So, but you can still find that niche, and that's kind of like where the individualism sets in. You find what works best for your body.
Right.
Definitely.
Okay. Oh, and I would even add to not subscribe to all of the charts that you see online that tell you have to have so many calories or you have to have so much of certain vitamins and minerals.
Yeah.
All of that was created with another intent in mind. And I believe that once your body has what it needs, that a lot of what we're putting into it in addition to that is excess. So
Absolutely. Don't
worry about the calories. Listen to your body.
Okay. Just your body will know what it, I mean. Of course,
because
I think. Now, one more question, and I'm going to ask, okay, do people tend towards, if they worry about a $1,200, let's say, for example, you're right. Like, say, a man who's like 6'5 or 6'7, and, you know, average, let's say an average weight of maybe, let's say he's 200 pounds, right, but he's muscle, he would actually require more calories than somebody who just is on a normal size person who misses like a 1,200-calorie diet. Would that be
also
true?
Yeah, it's size is a big factor, but it's also true. your body is specifically different. So even somebody, two people the same size could have different caloric needs based on their body's workings. But definitely size can also be a factor as well. All right, so thank you for calling in, and we appreciate all your questions.
Thank you.
If you are listening on the live stream, definitely call in right now because you have like 0 seconds left. We have one last caller, and then we are going to wrap up the show. Caller from the 516 area code. You're live on Conversations with the Queen. Do you have any comments or questions?
We're shaking. City Anthem. It was good, Tay.
It was good.
How you feeling?
Turn down your live stream or whatever, because you're echoing. Good.
Is it just good luck on me?
Nah, you're good. You're good. You have any comments or questions?
No, I was just more or less just coming in, you know, just to set the pace with y'all, say peace and blessings, and I commend every single last ounce of work that you guys are doing, participating in the great work, super y'all. That's all. That's all I want to say.
Thank you for calling
Indeed.
In. And
absolutely.
This brother will be on the show September 30th, and we will be out. I will be out in NY, y'all, be in Queens, hosting his show for him. So definitely, if you want more information about that, I'll post it on Conversations with the Queen blog, and it is on Facebook.com/Conversations with the Queen. So thank you for calling in.
Already. Stay in tune. Be on the lookout for the release of the debut album, The Traveling Mind of City Anthem, being released September 28th. And Queen Tay is hosting the album release party in the Secret Theater in Long Island City. Stay aware, stay in tune, tune in, turn on, drop out. Already, y'all. Peace.
And thank you for calling in. All right. So it's that time when we're wrapping up everything. I want I want to start with Dr. Yuma. Do you have any shout-outs, any upcoming events, projects, and contact info? And then I want to go to Sophia, and I want you to give out yours as well.
Yes. Actually, we have an African dance class that we do, which is very good to help support weight loss in the spirit of movement. We have an African drumming class that we utilize. I have an herb walk coming up, which is going to be on September 28th and September 29th, both days of that weekend. And then I have I think that's the most immediate things that I can think of that's coming up. So if you're interested in any of those things, you can definitely contact me. I'm area code 202-469-0264. That's area code 202-469-0264. You can also reach me by email at dryew@ymail.com, which is dryew@ymail.com. dryew@ymail.com, and you can also reach me on Facebook, facebook.com/ Dr. Yu, spelled DOCTAYEW. Facebook.com/DOCTAYEW. And I may also be in New York, Mount Vernon, New York. They have an Arts on Third Festival, which is going to be this Sunday, actually, September the 22nd. So I may be there. It's going to be in 3rd Street in Mount Vernon, West 3rd Street in Mount Vernon. I believe it spans between 5th Avenue and 1st Avenue, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. It's a street festival that will be outside. Or if I'm not there, by some chance, then I'll be at the Black Love Festival in D.C., which will be at the Big Chair parking lot in Southeast D.C. So for any of that, definitely touch base with me. You can link me on Facebook, phone, or email. And
definitely.
So I just want to shout out all the people in D.C. area, DMZ area, New York, and everyone else who I know that's listening. Peace and blessings to everybody who supports Conversations with the Queen and Sister Sophia. Definitely enjoyed you on the show as well. I hope we are able to connect as well. Peace and blessings.
All blessings. And don't forget to check out U360YEW360.com.
How do I forget my website?
Cause, see, I never forget your website.
U360.com.
Exactly. Right. All right. So check out U360.com and you can order products, consultations, the whole nine, and definitely check out Dr. Yuma. All right.
Thank you.
All right, peace. All right, Sophia. Any shout-outs, upcoming events, projects, contact information that you want to give out?
Well, first I'd like to just give honor to Dr. Yuma. An amazing show, great information, and it really resonated with my spirit. Sure, it'll help a lot of other people. Of course, you guys heard the commercial. We are doing the detox, and we've given you the information on that. So make sure you jump in and, you know, get your body right and cleanse and heal and all those beautiful things. In addition to that, this coming Sunday, I'm a part of an online conference. It's an online birth conference. It's called Roots and Bush Online Birth Conference. And Intense High is the company that's sponsoring it. And there's all kinds of subjects like about birth and midwives and doulas and, you know, the infant mortality rate in our Black community. And also my specific subject is infertility. So I'm helping women overcome infertility just the way that I did through natural remedies. Also, in addition to that, if you have any questions about herbs or anything like that, you can reach out to me at safiahills at gmail.com, S-A-F-I-Y-A-H, hills with an S at gmail.com. And also, I have a lot of information that I just like to give out to the public for free on my blog, and that's safiahills.com. So I encourage everybody to sign up for the detox. It will change your life. It's not just about what you're eating, but we'll incorporate spiritual practices. We'll also have some great information on why we crave, things like emotional and stress eating. Some of the, everything we talked about here today will just even be taken to another level in a more intimate setting. So I encourage you all to sign up.
Definitely. All right. Thank you, as always, for being so lovely and so articulate, so wonderful, and being on the show, Sophia. We really enjoy having you, and it's been a pleasure working with you on this project. So definitely go check out Sophia at sophiahills.com. Get acquainted with her videos, her information, her company. She has a wonderful, wonderful company going on there. So definitely go check them out. And thank you again for being on the show. And check out the Fall Equinox Detox because it's going to be on point. So definitely hope everybody can participate and get involved. All right, well, it's that time. Peace and blessings to everybody who was on the line, and peace and blessings to both of our guests. And thank you for participating. And it's that time to wind it down, you guys. So it's been a lovely show, and it's been an awesome show first day back. Thank God I'm back. All right. And we're going to take it out with some India. I am light.
the things my family did. I am not the voices in my head. I am not the pieces of the brokenness inside. I am light. 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 I'm not the mistakes that I have made, or any of the things that caused me pain. I am not the pieces of the dream I left behind.